The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course the DraftKings Network. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidelon.
Hello, how we doing?
Live from Bar Canada here in downtown Las Vegas at the D. What's happening?
Not much, man. Looks like they're the hardest working casino folks in town are at it again.
Yeah.
So many slot machines being replaced and fixed. Yeah. It's incredible.
It's incredible. Well, just improving the D by the day.
That's right.
That's what they're doing. Everything goes down after we get off the air, 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That was the case yesterday. Nothing but NFL free agency talk here at the top. Still to come, though, of course, today. We must talk college hoops as a bevy of tournaments begin today. Now we're talking. Kai McKeon from Three Man Weave will join us to do that. Paul Carr on the Champions League. Drew Dinsick will talk free agency, NBA. We'll also talk tennis. Novak Djokovic lost to something named Luca Nardi last night.
I was typing up those odds this morning. I'm like, where did Djokovic go?
I don't even know what I was watching. This might be between his two matches.
What was dude's name?
Luca Nardi.
Sure. Yeah, obviously.
He gave up a set to Alexander Vukic the match before. This could be the beginning of the slow aging decline.
Wow. Okay.
We'll see.
You don't just stroll into Indian Wells and knock off Luca Nardi.
You really don't. Luca Nardi lost the 462nd player in the world 3 weeks ago.
Jeez.
Point that up. All right. We'll get into all that. Kirk Cousins. Let us start there. Falcons, as was expected. But it's one of those things where even though you know it's coming, then once you see it in print, you're like, oh boy, here we go. 4 years, $180 million, $100 million of which are guaranteed. Good for Kirk Cousins, who, by the way, is simply a financial genius. $331.7 million guaranteed through his career. One playoff win, $331.7 million now guaranteed. Only Aaron Rodgers has higher career earnings per over the cap. Only Aaron Rodgers.
That's incredible. Put him in the Hall of Fame.
And by the way,
Hall of Fame of offseason quarterbacks. Let's go.
Both suffered Achilles injuries. One handled it with far more grace than the other. Kirk Cousins is the one who handled it with far more grace. And just again, just memory lane of Kirk Cousins. Drafted in the fourth round by Washington back in 2012. The same draft that the Skins drafted RG3. In the first round with, and RG3 was the rookie of the year, and he was great until he had injuries. And Kirk Cousins, it was a very curious pick in that same draft. And Kirk Cousins was historically, it was a turnover machine early in his career to a historical pace. And then in the middle of the 2015 season, week 7, Washington's playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They trail 24-0, and Cousins leads the Skins back. And that was the you like that game where Cousins defiantly screaming that after the game to anyone who was within earshot. And it completely flipped his career on a dime. And what ended up happening after that is then he, because Daniel Snyder refused to give him a long-term deal because, you know, he was all about RG3, still hoping on that. After the rookie deal, Cousins $20 million in 2016, $24 million the next year in D.C. It would have been north of 30, close to 40 if they had done another one-year deal on a franchise. Instead, long-term deal, 3 years, $84 million with the Vikings. And I remember at the time saying to folks, hey, look, Minnesota's going to go through the exact same thing that all of us in Washington did, which is the conundrum that is Kirk Cousins. And what does that mean? That means that when Kirk Cousins, when Washington was deciding and the fans were debating, do you keep this guy, do you not? It gets back to the old thing, Kelly, of you win on a quarterback overperforming a rookie deal or a guy who goes to the Hall of Fame. Now, Kirk Cousins may end up in the Hall of Fame because the counting stats will be there perhaps at the end. But Washington fans were divided in one of two camps, right? There's the guy that throws for 4,000 yards a year. And in D.C., he had his greatest year ever. In 2016, where he almost threw for 5,000. He threw over 4,900 yards that year. But since then, 4,093, 4,298 once he got to Minnesota. He's only had 2 years, one of which was this past year where he suffered the Achilles injury, where he hasn't thrown for over 4,000. There's that camp, which is like, well, of course you got to keep Kirk Cousins. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, and what's the alternative? Of course you keep him. And then there's the other crowd that's like, well, you'll never win a Super Bowl with this guy because let's just take QBR, which is scored out of 100. Here's Kirk Cousins' QBRs since that 2016 season when he threw for almost 5,000 yards. 56.2, 59.5, 60.4, 55.8, 58.3, 52.3. Last year, the exception before the injury, 63.2. Still, though, it depends what lens through which you view a guy like Kirk Cousins. Nonetheless, the Falcons have him stacked on offense with the likes of Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and of course, Kyle Pitts. They become the instant favorite. They were already the short shot in the AFC South, but now they're in minus money. They're minus 115. That adjusted from plus 130 to win the NFC South. And I guess I say to you, Kelly, here's the thing. So the Vikings fans are having the exact same debate as Washington fans are. Kirk Cousins have managed to not only make tons of money, second most to Aaron Rodgers throughout a career, he managed to be beloved by two fan bases. I don't think there's anyone in D.C. or Minnesota who doesn't love the guy. There is that debate, though. Like, could he have ultimately brought you to a Super Bowl? Could you, or was this just going to be a guy who accumulated stats and failed in the biggest situation? That was always going to be the debate. I think both fan bases have that. Now he goes to Atlanta, where it's in a bad division. So the Falcons' thinking is, this is the dude that's going to win us the division. Poor quarterback play last year between Heinicke and Ritter. We'll get a home playoff game because we'll win the division. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks have something to say about this, I get. But we'll win the division. We'll get a home playoff game. Then all we're asking this dude is to win two, ideally, if not three, two, let's say, games in the postseason to get us to a Super Bowl. That's the calculus.
Yeah.
Can they do it, or is this just they'll win the division and they'll fizzle out in the playoffs?
I mean, probably the latter, but, you know, it's still, it's March 12th. There's still an offseason to go here of what other moves could happen. So I think that will clear itself out, but the NFC is still not overly strong. So you're right. You put yourself in a position where you are the absolute favorite in that division, and I don't even think, like, the Bucks, I was the guy last summer. I was like, yeah, this Bucks team might not be so bad. Okay, they definitely, you know, over-exceeded what I thought they were going to do last year. But then I think we're probably a little too high on them going into this year, even with those guys coming back. Like, Baker Mayfield, I think we went from down too low on to now we're too high on.
Looking for a job in a league to a nine-figure contract.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, I love the move by the Falcons. You know, I all I can think about yesterday, Gil, was, you know, they sure had a lot of money left over from that time they just went out to go get Deshaun Watson, then couldn't get him in there to Atlanta. So they had that money left over. Love the move by Atlanta. I'm still a little surprised he didn't end up back in Minnesota just because of the I hear what you're saying with the quarterbacks, and I don't think anybody has an answer with Kirk Cousins on that of what kind of guy is he exactly.
It's the Kirk Cousins conundrum.
Exactly. But yeah, the part I'm surprised about is because of what they're dealing with Justin Jefferson, and you're trying to convince this guy to stay there long term. Man, it sure seemed like it worked really well with Kirk Cousins, so surprised they weren't able to figure out something just from that standpoint.
Well, and to my point about, you know, Washington has looked for a quarterback ever since, really, since Kirk Cousins, one that they could hang their hat on. The Vikings begin that phase, perhaps, of their franchise history with Sam Darnold,
yeah,
it looks like now. The Vikings go from plus 450 to win the NFC North down to plus 650. The Vikings also, this morning, in case you missed it, Adam Schefter reporting that Aaron Jones, after the Packers did him dirty,
yeah, I love that,
and signed Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones is going to sign with the rival Vikings, one-year deal, per Adam Schefter this morning. That hasn't been signed yet, but that's what's being reported. So, you know, that was a bigger carousel yesterday where the running backs...
Running backs were nuts yesterday.
And we talked about this, how there were so many available. Josh Jacobs gets the biggest deal of the bunch. 4 years, $48 million to go to Green Bay. Saquon Barkley, the biggest name of the bunch, and perhaps the most consequential, at least in terms of moving odds. 3 year, $37.7 million deal with the Eagles. By the way, do the Eagles have a salary cap? They get anybody they want any year.
They just don't have a defense.
they got Bryce Huff yesterday, though, also in free agency. DeAndre Swift, 3 years, $24 million to the Bears. Tony Pollard, 3 years, $24 million to the Titans, in case you missed that move. Then the Giants, curiously, replacing Saquon with Devin Singletary, 3 years, $16.5 million. And if you want to go further down the list, Antonio Gibson to New England, 3 years, 11.3. Austin Eckler to Washington, because that's what the Skins do. We get running backs that are washed. Sorry. And then the Chargers, Gus Edwards goes from Harbaugh to Harbaugh. 2 years, $6.5 million.
Eckler's been good still. I mean, he might be washed as soon as he steps on the field for Washington, but...
Well, any excitement was tempered by the fact that, I don't know, was he dinged up at this point? Like, That's sort of the reaction there. There were other moves. I mean, it was everywhere. Gardner Minshew to the Raiders. I didn't see that coming. I didn't see Darnold going to the Vikings, certainly. I didn't see Gardner Minshew going to the Raiders.
Do either one of those moves move the needle for you, though?
They do. Well, they move it downwards for sure. With Minshew, I don't know. Like, he just always seems like he's on the doorstep of doing something. Yeah. I know a lot of people can't stand him. I'm not in that group.
I'm not in that group.
I think he's
either.
Okay.
I just think the Raiders, who already weren't great with Derek Carr, have somehow gone incrementally worse at quarterback every year.
Oh, yeah. That's very true. Let's see if Gardner Minshew, at least in the case, he won't look exactly like Derek Carr, like Aiden O'Connell did with the same number and the same stature.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
and
at
then
least that.
Justin Fields still looking for a chair in the game of musical chairs.
You know, with the running backs, I'm wondering how much Derrick Henry was like, whoa, I didn't think there was going to be this much interest. Let's pull back and wait here.
We'll talk about more division odds moves coming up later in the show with all of these moves. Free agency week, man. There'll be more to come today. Yeah. Drew Dinsick on the other side. His thoughts on the NFL, Djokovic, the NBA. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get ready for the ultimate slam dunk. Download the free VSiN College Basketball Betting Primer. Get full VSiN Pro access until March 17th. This primer will have tournament betting tips and trends for every round, plus strategies for brackets and betting futures. Bet the tournament smarter this year. Download the free Men's College Basketball Betting Primer now and get free VSiN Pro access to everything we do through March 17th at VSiN.com/guide. That's VSIN.com/guide. And, of course, we'll have Kai McKeon from Three-Man Weave coming up to talk all college basketball tournaments. And with so many bottles to choose from, it's easy to find your favorite, all at the lowest prices for over 30 years. Find what you love and love what you find at Total Wine and More. Drink responsibly. Be 21. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. Drew Dinsick joins us each and every Tuesday. This Tuesday is no different. He's the host of Not One But Two podcast, Deep Dive, Dinsick Classic, which he does with Andy Molitor. And, of course, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, which he does with the great Jay Croucher. It's Drew Dinsick. @whale_capper on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Drew?
Oh, I'm doing tremendously well. How are you guys this morning?
We are well. I was framing Kirk Cousins last segment, and I know everybody's talking about the money he's made in his career, which is obviously perhaps his finest feat. But the way I think that he's just a unique character is not only has he made the most money of anybody ever, guaranteed besides Aaron Rodgers, but he's managed to do so while being beloved by two fan bases, I think universally, while winning nothing really for either of them, yet having this tantalizing ability to still accumulate stats and have this debate that is created from it, like, yes, we love him. Yes, he makes all this money. Some people think you have to keep him. Both there was Minnesota and Washington fans that thought that, because the alternative is then you go into the quarterback netherworld after that, which was the case for Washington, has been, might be for Minnesota. We'll see. Sam Darnold might start that out. And now Atlanta has him. And Atlanta probably will end up loving Kirk Cousins too, because they'll probably, again, Baker Mayfield and the Bucks will have something to say about this, but the Falcons are the favorite to win the NFC South. Can he win them two or three playoff games to get him to the Super Bowl, though, Drew? Let's just start there.
I would be pretty surprised if they won two playoff games, I guess. The NFC is pretty stacked right now. This is not, if this move happens a couple years ago and Atlanta with that young nucleus of offensive talent has a stable quarterback and they invest in the defense, then, you know, maybe we're talking, they could have been this year's Lions type of success story, but There's just too many good teams in the NFC right now for me to think this moves the needle enough to where winning the South sets you up for, you know, some sort of straightforward path to, you know, toppling the Giants there. And in fact, like just a broader step back in the market, the fact that the Niners are such heavy favorites, you know, or not heavy, but just that they're the presumed favorites for the Super Bowl. When, in my opinion, they're, you know, getting back for them is going to be much tougher than, you know, the Chiefs or, you know, any of the elite teams in the AFC is a suspect proposition. I think the Rams are absolutely a threat to the Niners in the West. I think the what we saw from the Packers in terms of that young nucleus taking a step forward, combined with the Lions, who seem to be going all in, makes two, you know, true blue competitors coming out of the North. And then, of course, you know, there's never really any give up when it comes to Philadelphia and Dallas. Those teams are look to be restocking to a degree. And so I think ultimately, you know, you have six teams who are fighting for, you know, like four spots at the top of the NFC. And I think I would not include Atlanta as one of them, even though Kirk Cousins is headed down there. And I'm going to be probably a cooler on him and the Falcons in the market for until proven otherwise, because of his age and the Achilles injury. And just in general, some of what we saw from him in terms of quality of play to start the season last year felt a little fool's goldish. If you can prove that you are fringe top 10 and show enough upside to kind of convince some front office that you're the answer to getting a top 10 quarterback, then, you know, you're going to make the second most guaranteed money despite having relatively weak playoff success. So it is crazy. The funniest or the most outstanding, kind of Vikings playoff memory in recent history was the, you know, Minneapolis miracle. And neither Kirk Cousins or Justin Jefferson was involved in that. Both guys have moved on. It's maybe more interesting what in the world's going on with Minnesota, because they have such a strong nucleus of offensive talent on that roster. And the Sam Darnold move was a little strange. My assumption is that they're very clearly in the market for a quarterback in round one of the draft, whether it's trade up or take one at where they stand. So Darnold presumably would be either the placeholder while they develop the next young guy, or, you know, in some sort of quarterback competition with a rookie that would be sort of a faux competition. And either way, paying a guy $10 million to do that seems a little silly to me.
Falcons move from 35-1 to 25-1, by the way, in the market to win the Super Bowl. The Saquon deal with the Eagles moves the Eagles from 20-1 to 17-1, or at least that's part of the reason that the Eagles moved shorter to win the Super Bowl. And the Cowboys, by the way, fall back in that process, 14-1 to 16-1, as Saquon goes to a division rival. I'm curious what the move was for you yesterday, if there was one, that moves the needle the most for you, where you were like, okay, that's a thing that is obviously a game changer.
Absolutely nothing. There is the most of what happened yesterday made me just kind of scratch my head and say, okay, well, I'm not sure the brain trust that this particular organization has a vision that I believe in. and people just sort of are shrugging their shoulders and saying, well, until we find the next quarterback that can go toe to toe with Pat Mahomes, we might as well just make some splash signings to try to placate the fan base. Cause free agency rarely does tip the scales in general. This year feels especially, especially unnotable. I would say that the most important move that's happened to this point in the entire process has been Kansas City re-signing Chris Jones to the deal that they did. He's obviously the most important part of that defense by margin, and keeping him intact and happy, you know, is especially considering the highs that you saw from him in their playoff run, I think is pretty important. He's a guy that can flip the switch and, you know, stop the game when you need him to. And that's hugely valuable. So I would say him staying in Kansas City keeps Kansas City pretty clearly at the top of the AFC for me. And that was pretty massive. Otherwise, I'm struggling. I'm looking through the entire list right now, and it's like we're giving big old splash deals to guards, and everybody's trading running backs. Like, these are big time nothing burger moves.
This is what were we talking about with running backs last week, where I made this point about all the running backs? Oh, I was talking about what was it on the context of how there was just a glut of running backs? That quarterbacks, right, where, you know, about the whole Super Bowl, you win a quarterback only with a guy overperforming on a rookie deal, or you go, or if you're in the Hall of Fame, and how part and parcel with that is because also the way the economic structure of quarterbacks is, where you're forced to make these nine-figure deals at a point in their careers where you're not sure if they're going to be Hall of Famers. Dak, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, right? And part and parcel with that is that there's a dearth of quarterbacks that are any good, right? There's only like 8 to 10 of them any good. But running backs, there's such a glut that they're a dime a dozen. It was the most important position when we were kids. It is not at all anymore. And who knows, like, when that will come back. It may with NIL, when guys realize we should probably stick around in college for a while, that will create a artificial dearth in the NFL. But right now, you're right. It's just a running back carousel. And I think your point about Chris Jones' extension being the single most important thing that's happened so far is probably the greatest point I think that can be made right now, because all this other stuff. And some people will disagree, right? Some people will say, well, Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, I don't know. All they have to do is win a couple football games in the playoffs and they could be in the Super Bowl. I'm with you. I don't make that leap.
Yeah, if he had finished his season healthy last year, maybe I'm having a different point of view. But he's coming off an Achilles injury at age 36, guys.
Yep, 36 like, years old your, in August.
Lower your expectations. I don't know what else to tell you. I do like in general what they're doing as far as team building in Atlanta to a degree. And I think, you know, hey, the coach hiring and the offensive coordinator they brought in, like, do those guys have potential to pop? Of course. But I would still, if I were at Atlanta, I would still, you know, if a decent quarterback slides out of round one and is available at the top of round two, and the other quarterback hungry teams have all taken their swings in round one, and you at the eighth pick in round two have a chance to get, I don't know, Bo Nix or Penix or something like that, I would consider it because I think this is a pretty potentially a short term Band-Aid really for Atlanta. And, you know, I guess I also really wonder what's going on otherwise with whether they've hit on any of those players that they've swung on in terms of skill position and they have an aging offensive line. There's warning. There's red flags all over this Atlanta team.
The Cousins Achilles injury. He will be 36 when the season starts. People lost their minds about Aaron Rodgers thinking he had magical medical powers. It's tough at that age. This just in, Rodgers doesn't. Cousins, more realistic about his. Coming back, more with Drew next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app. Not the VSiN app. Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. I went dark there for a second. You see that? I was in darkness. That's what threw me off. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Let's get to the good stuff, shall we? College hoops. We were just talking off air with Kai McKinn from 3-Man Weave and just talking about how, you know, every once in a while there's an NFL week where we're like, that Sunday kind of sucked. Like, the product kind of sucked. Never, ever once in our lives have we ever complained about anything conference or March Madness wise. Kai joins us now from 3-Man Weave. How you doing, Kai?
I'm doing great, Gil. It's best time of year. So excited it's March and enjoying every minute of college basketball right now.
Every minute. Kai comes to us courtesy of the progressive guest line. Pardon me. Two more auto bids yesterday, in case you missed it. And I know you didn't miss it, Kai, but anybody out there who missed it, James Madison Dukes win the Sun Belt. They win it by 20. They were the short shot to win the tournament at +120. 32-3. They head to the tournament, and had they lost, they probably wouldn't have made it. And then the Samford Bulldogs, who were the short shot and the number one seed in the Southern, they win the Southern Conference Tournament. So they are headed to the big dance as well. And today, well, now we start to get serious. ACC, A-10, Big 12, Conference USA, and the Metro Atlantic. tip off those tournaments. Day basketball. Tomorrow's even bigger again. American, Big East, Big Ten, Big West, MEAC, Mountain West, Pac-12, SEC, SWAC, WAC. It's that time of year. By the way, there's other games going on today, including the America East semis, Big Sky semis, Southland semis, and then five more auto bids will be determined today. Five more conference tournament championships, including the Coastal, Horizon, Northeast, Summit, and West Coast Conference, obviously, between Gonzaga and St. Mary's. Let's start with today's games before we get to the conference tournaments. Anything in any of the five championships or any of the other semis that you like today?
Yeah, I kind of lean pretty much every single dog in the championship games today, but really like Wagner, plus 7.5 against Merrimack. I just think they're such a tough team rebounding wise and can really get into the teeth of that zone, bully Merrimack a bit. They beat them once this season. Hopefully Merrimack wins. I want to see them in the tournament, especially after last season when they won the conference tournament and unfortunately got left out because of the transition rule.
That's right.
I do think Wagner can keep it pretty close here. And yeah, it's up to 8 now. So I like the Seahawks there, plus 8.
Okay. Anything in the Coastal Horizon or Summit or West Coast Conference Championships? Nothing there?
I do like Milwaukee, plus 5 against Oakland. Really great that we're going to get a new team out of the Horizon. Both these teams, it's been a long time since they've been in the dance. Milwaukee's playing great lately. Both games are really close during the season. And I just love how this team scraps. Bart Lundy's an awesome coach. They control the glass. I think that's Oakland's bit of their weakness, really, in the zone they tend to play. So I think Milwaukee can keep it close here. Hopefully they get out on shooters because Oakland has some snipers.
Milwaukee before this tournament? Before the Horizon Championship tournament began, 22-1 to win this tournament. So they are on the cusp. Just got to win today. Obviously, easier said than done. All right, let's talk about the tourneys that have not started yet. Again, mentioned that ACC, A-10, Big 12, Conference USA, and the Metro Atlantic begin today. Any value plays, any thoughts on any of these where you're making a bet?
Yeah, so the MAC, weird one here, a couple weird ones here. So I took some flyers on Central Michigan and Western Michigan. They're incredibly long shots, 24-1 and I think 60-1 for Western Michigan. But I just think this tournament could get kind of crazy. And both these teams have beaten top dogs in the conference already. I don't like Kent State out of the 8th seed. Toledo, they somehow lose every single season. Akron's been falling down the stretch. So I thought there might be a little chaos in that league. So really small flyer plays in the MAC for me to start us.
All right, MAC starts on Thursday, by the way, that tournament. Yeah. Would you say Western Michigan was, are you going to make a bet on Western Michigan?
Made a small little flyer bet. I think they're 60-1.
65 to 1 is what I saw at DraftKings last night.
Yeah.
All right, nothing in between now and then?
No, I don't do a ton of futures bets in the conference tournaments. Yeah, in the A-10, I think Dayton's going to win it, but obviously they're the short shot to win it in the A-10. I do like Duke to win in the Big 12, the ACC. I'll tell you what, Baylor probably has the best value in the Big 12. I think they're around 7-1 right now. I do like them. I think they can definitely win that conference tournament with KU sitting Hunter Dickinson and with Houston sort of banged up right now.
All right, let's go to the big dance. Let's project forward a week. I've asked you different questions. One, I asked you who's got the most sort of volatility in outcomes, and you said Gonzaga. You stick by that as an answer for that question?
I do a bit. I liked your answer with Kentucky, and I think that's what most people would say. Yeah. But I do think Gonzaga has the highest of highs, and we've seen them have the lowest of lows. So I do think Gonzaga, Kentucky are right there. Alabama's a good team as well.
All right, I'll ask you what I asked of your buddy Jim Root yesterday, which is of the usual suspects at the top here. So we're talking the Houston, UConn, Arizona, Auburn, Marquette, Tennessee, Purdue, Creighton group. Throw in Duke and Carolina as well. Who do you trust the least? Give me the three that you trust the least.
North Carolina. No offense to the talent on their roster. I'm not a Hubert Davis believer. I know he's been there before. I think they're a bit lucky on that run. Weirdly, I don't trust Marquette very much, especially with the Tyler Kolek injury. You know, he's supposed to be back for the NCAA tournament, but I still think he's hobbled, and we've seen that team sort of bow out a few times. So that's number two for me. And then the third team, I don't think Iowa State makes a big run. I don't think they have the offensive sustainability to get through the tournament. So I guess those three teams out of the top group there.
Yeah. I like how you threw Iowa State because when I watch them, I feel the same way. Yeah, I'm like, this team's not doing anything. Apologies to all fans of Iowa State. Okay, let's talk about, I used to do this thing with Peter Keating, who used to work at ESPN. Now he's, I believe, at The Athletic, which was called Giant Killers. And he used to do this segment called Giant Killers. We used to have him on. And it was basically identifying the characteristics of mid-majors, you know, teams that get auto bids from smaller conferences that have the characteristics required to pull off an upset and maybe even two come Big Dance. And those really came down to a couple, you know, a few characteristics, a few staples. Great three-point shooting and pace. A team that played particularly fast or a team that played particularly slow, but generally it was the particularly fast version of that. Is there a team or teams that fit the bill for you in terms of giant killer possibilities?
It's interesting. I would expect the pace to be slow. The teams that that tend to be giant killers, but that surprised me a little bit.
Well, there was a couple, right? There was the grind where you minimize the possessions, but then if you
either or.
Okay. Yeah. If you were good 3-point shooting, it was volume also. Yeah.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, James Madison fits the bill, in my opinion, and that's no secret. I'm sure there'll be a sexy 12-5 pick to pull an upset. Hopefully they play South Carolina. I'll take James Madison. They've beaten Michigan State, right? They can shoot the three. They play with great pace. Like you said, they've won 32 games. I love Drake. Drake's just a really good team. They might even be favored in the first round as an 11 seed, depending who they draw. Those two teams for sure. Charleston, maybe. Again, they're one of those pace type of teams as well. I don't think Samford is a giant killer, and they fit the pace bill. They even kind of fit the shooting bill, but I don't think they play up very well to competition.
Which team do you feel would be most susceptible to the region that this will get a little more nuanced, the region that they are cast in? In other words, if you keep them at home, you keep them comfortable, all things good. But if you shipped them away, you might have some trouble with it.
Tough one. So a top team, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, hard question. If you count Auburn as a top team, I'll say Auburn. They'll probably like a 4 seed, so maybe it doesn't count too much. If you want to do 1 seeds, I kind of like all these 1 seeds a lot. I guess I'll default to Tennessee, even though I really like the Vols. I'll default to there just because Rick Barnes, I'm going to make him prove it to me. Yeah. Arizona, as much as I want to hate to admit it, they're probably in that group too because they do rely on Caleb Love way too much at the end of games. When they're blowing teams out, it's all honky-dory. It's great. When they're getting beat, I think they kind of clinch up a bit and it becomes a love show. And that's bad news. I could see that happening in the tournament.
Team that's going to get screwed on Selection Sunday and a team that's going to undeservedly get in.
I really hate to say it, but I think Indiana State is in danger of getting screwed.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
I want to see this team. I want to see them in the dance. Root for Florida Atlantic to win the American. Root for Dayton to win the A-10. I think it's the only way they can make it. I think people will be surprised to see Texas A&M make the dance.
Wow. All right. Team that doesn't make the big dance, that ends up in the NIT, but will be properly motivated, in your opinion, to actually want to win the NIT so we can trigger a bet on them.
Well, that could be Indiana State. I think they'd roll through it. They're an awesome, awesome team. Now, I think they'd be plenty motivated too. This type of team, I think, would love an NIT championship, this program. So they're one. You know, one of the Conference USA teams, to keep the theme from last season, how about Sam Houston or Louisiana Tech? I think either one of those teams could make a run. And then if somehow Grand Canyon loses the WAC, I'd probably go their way as well. They'd be a team on the list.
Indiana State, Grand Canyon, what was in between?
One of the Conference USA teams, so either Sam Houston or Louisiana Tech.
All right, yeah. Last two, and this might be because I have futures plays on them. Give me the round of elimination, sight unseen, obviously. We don't have the brackets. Round of elimination for BYU.
I'll go second round.
Oh, I'm so we're better than that. Alabama.
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16, okay. All right.
Yeah,
Close it out with those two. I would have those reversed. How about that? I'll go BYU, Sweet 16, and Alabama second round. Kai, appreciate it as always. Enjoy this week, man. Enjoy it, obviously, beyond this week, but enjoy while we have it. Soak it all in, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. You too.
The great Kai McKeon at 3MW underscore CBB for all of Three Man Weave's plays. How great is this? Daytime hoops.
Let's roll.
Wall to wall. Let's ride. Let's ride. Russell Wilson used to say. We'll come back. More NFL talk and some most improved player talk in the NBA. It's all falling into Kelly's lap. Coming back. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.